it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
The Olympics show on OTB Sports with Indeed, proud partner of Team Ireland.
Yeah, you're welcome along. So it's day four of the Olympics and it's all with thanks to Indeed, our coverage, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. Hashtag talent unleashed. Now, later on, we're going to talk to Tara Sullivan in the US about a lukewarm start for some of the marquee USA names. We're still hoping Simone Biles will compete on Thursday. That's when she's next due to compete. We'll talk about her very shortly. Katie Ledecky beaten in the pool. USA basketball team beaten by the French. So we'll get a sense of what Tara's saying about the US efforts. I don't want to overstate things either. They're second on the medals table with 25 medals and 9 goals. So it's not a crisis. Japan, by the way, are top of the medals table. They have 10 goals, 18 overall. So really good start for the home country. And then China, if you're interested, third. And Russia, seventh. Great Britain have 4 gold medals thus far, 13 medals overall. So it's been a decent start to their Olympic Games, 4 days in. We will also talk to Ronan Mullen later on, who is talking to us about a win overnight for Aidan Walsh in the boxing. So much needed win, I think, for Team Ireland in the boxing to get some momentum going again. First up, though, Cliona Foley, who has spent all night up watching all the action, is with us. Hello.
Hi, Joe. Tony, we're not even a full week in and I already need the poly filler for the bags under my eyes.
And so what are the tactics? Do you get a bit of shut-eye then? What, 6, 7 a.m.? Is that when you're going to bed?
I think I slept from 4 to 8 or something today.
Oh, my God.
It can't go on, Joe. It can't go on.
I mean, can I ask, as a more sane person, what's wrong with just recording this all overnight and setting the alarm clock as early as you like? I don't mind if you're up at 7 and watch it all through.
No, look, there are loads of options, but last night I really wanted to watch Mona McSherry live. I really wanted to see her live. I just thought it was such a historic event that you had to really say, look, I was there, I saw it, and I wanted to see it in real life, because I have done that some mornings, and you know, there's loads of catch-up shows you can get. But if you really want to watch something and something that special, I thought, look, you know, she deserved an all-nighter.
Okay, fair point. I left it during the women's triathlon, which, by the way, was extraordinarily entertaining last night. It was carnage, absolute carnage, the women's triathlon.
Yeah, the weather was incredible. They got horrendous weather, and the bike section of it was just absolutely carnage. There was people going down left, right and centre. And Caroline Hayes was hoping, I think, for a top 20 and finished 23rd and actually did really, really well. But she had an absolute mare in the swim and gave herself a lot to do. But as usual, she's a brilliant runner, actually. She picked off a lot of people in the bike as well. But she said herself afterwards, the back wheel was skidding all the time and she had to be really, really careful on the bike. So it was very, very, the men's race was stymied before they even started, and the women's race was completely different for completely different reasons. It's a tough sport.
Yeah, extraordinary. And it was delayed about an hour, the women's race, just to try and hope that the weather would improve. There were 55 starters in total and just 34 finished, which gives you a sense of the carnage we're talking about.
Yeah, a third of them actually dropped out or didn't finish. And the water, if you saw the water, like the water was as choppy as you get in a sea. Like the swim was very, very difficult last night because of that. And you know, you're so used to, I remember even London, should they swam in a lake, like they'd rarely get, I think, conditions that bad for such a high event, you know.
Yeah. So Bermuda, by the way, and we will get on to Mona McSherry ultimately in a second here, but seeing as we're mentioning the triathlon, Bermuda won their first ever gold medal in Olympic history. So Flora Duffy crossed first. And then again, these are just the crazy things that happens at Olympic Games. Georgia Taylor-Brown for Team GB with a silver. So she's going along very, very nicely. She's on the bike. She hits a pothole. I mean, for the love of God, what's a pothole doing on the Olympic bike track? Like, you spent about $100 billion on this thing and there's potholes. That aside, she gets a puncture on the final lap. Now, I know if I get a puncture, I stop cycling because it's very, very difficult to cycle with a puncture. In fairness to Georgia, she just powered on through. She dropped down to fifth and then she went on to reclaim silver for Team GB. So that was fairly stressful.
Incredible how she came back. Yeah, yeah. And normally if we get a puncture, Joe, we ring somebody to pick us up, right?
By the way, Ryle Nugent and Lavinia Good on the commentary were brilliant as well. She was so knowledgeable.
Yeah,
Ryle was doing his thing, so it was great coverage.
Yeah, it was. And some of the RTE coverage has been really good, actually. Yeah.
Mona McSharry.
I'm enjoying Eric Donovan.
Oh, Eric Donovan.
Yeah, Mona. Wow. I keep thinking Eric's going to actually punch the person he's on with because he's so physical in his, you know, in his movements, and he can't really describe a boxing match without throwing a few punches as well. It's brilliant.
Yes. I mean, just one dig to Peter Collins' chin, I think even Peter would agree it would make for good TV. It might be worth it. So Mona McSharry, you watched this live, in fairness to you, so you're one of the few. 3:17 a.m. She finished eighth. Give us your sense of the whole occasion of how she handled herself, because, I mean, she was always going to be up against it in terms of making a medal. I'm sure she desperately wanted maybe to creep up to seventh or sixth. So eighth, ultimately, eighth in the world is still an absolutely extraordinary achievement.
She actually had the second fastest start. She had a brilliant start. She flew off the blocks and had the second fastest start. And obviously, look, at her age especially, it's going to take a while, I think, and just all that competition that she's being, that racing competition that she's getting. So it was always going to be an ask for her to do anything except to try and get a PB, which she didn't do, but she was close to it again. But she walked out there like she owned the place, with grinning from ear to ear, exactly as she had done for the two previous rounds. And, you know, it struck me over the last few days, and I've seen it with the Irish women's hockey team. Do you remember the World Cup where they always smiled and they were always smiling? Like, I think you can see when people are enjoying their sport, and you can also see when people are, you know, and it's interesting, we'll talk about Simone Biles in a minute, but you can see when the tension is getting to them. And I've seen that in the Irish women's hockey team since they won the World Cup. You can see that they're not as carefree anymore because now there's pressure on them. But there was absolutely no pressure on Mona McSharry last night. And she just went out, and she had an incredible start, and just looks at home in that company and is at home in that company. And I think given especially how young she is, although, you know, there was a 17-year-old took gold, so there's a bit of a shock there, but I do think there's still, and Paris is going to be, I think, perhaps, you know, 3 years for her to come now, and the really interesting thing about that race was just how, I suppose, they say breaststroke is the key. They say never be a stressy breaststroker. Like, the key to breaststroke, because it's such a difficult technical thing, is to be really, really relaxed. And I think her first, she felt she went out too fast, probably in the first 50. And you could see her tensing up in the second one. But I interviewed her when she was 15, Joe. I always remembered. I went up to interview her at the National Aquatic Centre, and she was before she was going to European Juniors that summer. And I just couldn't believe how cool this kid was. Like, she is just so laid back and so cool. And I there had to be a chaperone there. Trish Mayen from Swimming Ireland was sitting nearby because she was under 16. And, like, it didn't matter what I threw at her, she answered it. And then I remember at the end, you know, you're throwing in some fun questions, and I said to her, you know, what advice have you got, you know, from people whose goggles, you know, when your goggles come off and when you dive into the pool, how do you stop that, you know? And she just looked at me and she giggled and she said, maybe she'd just buy a better pair of goggles, you know. And she was just so cool. And she has that coolness about her, and I think that's what, like, loads, like, you know, thousands of people are brilliant, have brilliant talent, but she has the application, and she also has this mental strength. You know, she clearly has this mental strength. And that's, you know, when you look at the rowers coming up, and when you look even at some of the things that have happened in the last few days, that it's hard to replicate that, I think, if you have it. You know, yeah, if you have it naturally, it's a huge strength to have, and she has it. She's hugely confident, no way arrogant, but just she's very cool. And she had lain eight, you know, really hard in swimming to win at lane eight. So, like, she was always at a disadvantage, but she made the best of it. And I think she's going to produce more in the next few years.
Yeah, here's a sense of how she was feeling after the race. So this is Mona McSharry talking to RTE's Paul Flynn.
I think it's a bit of mixed emotions. You know, it was amazing, an amazing race. You know, I wish I could have maybe brought a little bit more. That was my slowest 100 here. But look, at the end of the day, it's all about competing. The times don't really matter. And I think I put in a good fight, and, you know, honestly, I'm happy to come away from my first ever Olympics with an eighth place. It's really not that bad. I'll take it. It's just been amazing, you know, getting, I want to say, millions of messages from home, and I love every single one of them, and I cherish it so much. And, you know, to hear that people are willing to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch me race is just it makes my heart feel like warm. It's a really nice feeling, and you know, I love that the whole nation is behind me, and thank you to everyone that did get up and watch me race. And I hope they're all proud of, you know, how I performed.
Yeah, incredibly composed. That's Mona McSharry speaking to RTE afterwards. She goes in the 200 meter breaststroke on Wednesday. She says it's not her best event, but she's just going to relax, going to enjoy it, going to see what happens. You mentioned, Cliona, the ultimate winner last night was Lydia Jacoby. So we're talking about Mona as being young at 20. This is a young person's sport, that's for sure. 17 years of age, huge shock here.
Yeah, massive shock. She's an Alaskan, I think, and it was a shock to everybody, including her teammates. But sometimes, you know, you get that with very young athletes as well, where they absolutely have no fear. And her last 20 meters were extraordinary. She just powered home, and she's a very unusual breaststroker. She has what we call old school breaststroke. So she swims like most of us would swim breaststroke, you know, low into the water, and long. And a lot of them now have a very high style. You know, they really pull the water past them and their heads come up really high. She's totally the opposite. So everything about her, you would say, is old school. And yet this 17-year-old came up and pipped everybody. And it was, but the finish was fantastic. It was a brilliant, brilliant race.
Okay, very interesting. Just before we leave the pool, it would be so easy and remiss of us, I think, just to breeze by somebody like Daniel Whiffen. So at a glance, yes. Daniel Whiffen from County Down. You would look at it and see he finished 14th overall, so he didn't make the final. Tough luck, Daniel. On we go. And then you delve a bit deeper. He broke his Irish record for the 800-metre freestyle to win his heat. So he won his heat and still finished 14th overall. He said, "I'm ecstatic. I got a personal best on the biggest stage. I came out top of the race. It's the Olympics. I'm just so happy to be here. I re-broke my old Irish senior record. It's incredible. I've dropped about 20 seconds this year on it, which is a lot." So there you go. It's Daniel Whiffen, 14th, but that's not the full story at all here.
No, and this kid is great. He's an identical twin, actually, and his identical twin Nathan looks the image of him, and they've done some acting in a few TV series as well. I think they might have done a little bit in Game of Thrones. They're both gone to Loughborough now, so I think probably moving to Loughborough maybe in the last year has paid off for him. But he has knocked a massive amount off the 800, which is an endurance event, you know. And he's only 19, and I definitely think we're going to see a lot more of him in future as well. He was kind of, he knocked I think about 15 seconds off the national record at the Irish trials earlier this year, and that was suddenly people went, oh my goodness, got this guy, you know. But he's good fun as well. Himself and the brother do YouTube videos that are a bit of fun. If you watch out for them,
I'll check out them. So generally the way we all take the Olympics is on a very parochial footing initially, and how are the Irish doing, and every country does that, and I'm sure in Bermuda they're having a great time right now with their first ever gold medal. And then we look for the big international names, and one of the faces of the games, if not the face, is Simone Biles, a four-time Olympic champion. She's bidding for history in all sorts of ways. She was looking to become the greatest female Olympian of all time with 10 golds. That now won't be possible because she's made off with a silver medal in the team event. She withdrew from the women's team final, if you didn't hear about this, and ultimately it was the Russian team who won gold in her absence. The first time the USA have lost a major gymnastics competition, Olympics and World Championships of any kind, really, since 2010. Cliona, initially this was reported as being a medical issue, an unspecified medical issue, and now it seems it's a mental health issue. So we have a clip here of Biles speaking after the final, and what happened, or we'll talk about that after, just her behaviour earlier on and how she left and came back on and cheered on from the sidelines. But so here she is speaking afterwards, and she was asked, obviously, you know, is everything okay? Are you going to be competing for the rest of the games, or what's the nature of the medical issue? So here's, it's brief enough, the audio quality isn't brilliant, but here's Simone Biles.
To focus on my well-being, and you know, there's more to life than just gymnastics, and it is very unfortunate that it has to happen at this stage, because I definitely want to miss the Olympics, go a little bit better, but again, take it one day at a time. We're going to see how the rest goes.
So there you are, Cliona. To focus on my mental well-being was her initial response as to why she had stepped out this morning. And you know, deceptive as mental health can be, I mean, she sounds almost cheery there. It's like easy breezy, you know, she's saying these very profound things as if she was asked what she had for breakfast. So Simone Biles, what are you making of this story?
It's a very, I mean, I heard somebody describing, I saw one columnist describing these as the tumbleweed Olympics a few days ago. Well, the tumbleweed just got blown out of the place by this, because this is the story of the game so far. She did her first vault and then she pulled out, and it wasn't even apparent until they went on to the next rotation and realized she wasn't competing. I think it's interesting. Is it the mental pressure and all the pressure that she's under? Because she's her teammates are all new. She's carrying, she was going to be carrying this team as such. And she scored a really bad vault. She did a terrible vault at 13.7 for her, which would be really, really poor. And you could see her, she bit her lip when she landed and she walked back out. And I just thought, oh, there's something wrong here. But I thought maybe she'd hurt herself physically. Now, it's really interesting to see what she said. And that was that, you know, I want to focus on my mental health. She also said, Sean Engel, I saw him quoting on Twitter, she said, I just don't trust myself as much as I used to. And I don't know if it's age. I'm a little bit more nervous when I do gymnastics. I also feel like I'm not having as much fun. She was mooted to do this amazing double Yurashenko, double pike somersault vault in this games, which, you know, is regarded as extremely dangerous. That didn't happen. And even the, I think the vault that she did wasn't the one that she was planned to do as well. So she looked nervous. And I've seen people on social media going, you know, oh, she's not a team player, you know, and why would you pull out in the middle of all of that? I think people forget how dangerous gymnastics is and how brave you have to be, you know? Mm. And I always used to wonder why people say, oh, gymnastics isn't a sport. Like, the bravery you have to do these moves is extraordinary. And if your mind is even the slightest bit distracted, Joe, you could have a catastrophic injury. So people saying, is it a physical injury? Is it a mental injury? Potentially, it will emerge, I think, because she's due to compete still in the all-round competition and in the four individual events. But was it a factor that she was not sure of herself mentally? And because she's not sure of herself mentally, it's too dangerous. You know, you can see why you would have a fear. This isn't like, you know, people are talking already about Osaka, but this isn't like a tennis match, you know. You can do yourself serious, serious, serious injury, and you have to be 100% committed. I think it's going to be interesting what emerges. What was extraordinary was that she went off with her coach, came back out, put her tracksuit on, and then was with her teammates all the way through, cheering them on. And then when Russia won, complete shock, although not really, because in fact, the Russians won the European Championships this year, and were brilliant in the European Championships they've got at the moment. She was the first American over to hug them and congratulate them. So she didn't try to hide in any way. Do you know what I mean? She's a very unusual person, Joe.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
Her background is so unusual.
Yeah,
everything about her.
Develop that point, actually. Yeah, but it is just so striking that she wasn't herself, first of all. So she attempted, I was reading, and again, I am no expert in this sphere, and you know a lot more than me, but I was reading, she attempted what The Guardian described as her trusty Aminar vault, one she has almost never missed. And yet they say, however, as she launched herself into the air, her form deteriorated, and she only managed 1.5 twists before a messy landing. And as you mentioned, the judge gave her an extremely low score. I hadn't considered the safety aspect before. Like, if she's clearly not herself and she's struggling to land a move that is her usual trusty go-to move and doesn't, you know, take the maximum of her talents, and she can't quite execute that, I hadn't actually considered the physical risk of trying something when you're not 100%.
You're on a balance beam that's 10 centimetres wide, and you're doing somersaults and double flips and triple flips, and her exit move off is all reverse off the balance beam. It's extraordinary what she can do on a balance beam. So, like, you can really hurt yourself, physically hurt yourself, and I think this could be a factor. But I also think she's such an unusual person. Like, she came out in that interview that you played there. You know, that was in the mix zone. She came into the mix zone with all her teammates, stood there and took the questions and didn't run away from them. But, like, her background is so amazing, and so what her life has been is so extraordinary. Like, her mother sadly was an addict, and her four children were taken into care when they were very tiny, and her grandparents adopted Simone and one of the others, and the other two were adopted by an uncle or an aunt. So what an extraordinary start in life. And then she becomes this brilliant gymnast, and she ends up in the American system, which we discover then, has it, American Gymnastics has this horrendous paedophile doctor called Larry Nassar, who abuses many of the gymnasts. She's the only remaining member of that that cohort, if you like, that is still competing for America.
Yeah.
And she came out and said she was also, she was one of the ones sexually abused by Nassar. So, like, what she's gone through, and then she goes to Rio and she becomes a superstar because the world sees, you know, how amazing she was. And she has this thing, you know, like Jordan, the way there was hang time with Jordan. She just, like, she's only 4'8". She has this extraordinary ability to soar into the air, you know, and also obviously her spatial awareness is extraordinary because she can do these tricks that nobody else can do. And she's a superstar, and then she's going to be the big story of the games. And I remember reading a great article about 2 months ago. She was on the cover of Vogue, and it was a really interesting article about her. And then there was another one a couple of days ago in the New York Times, which was very interesting as well, where she just said, you know, I'm not enjoying it. You know, I feel a lot of pressure. And so whatever that is, whatever the pressure is on her, it looked today as if she decided, I just got to step back here.
Yeah. And she cited Naomi Osaka, who, by the way, lost Osaka as an inspiration in terms of exercising self-care in real time and not waiting for something to spiral out of control. She is under huge pressure, Biles. Like, as you said, face of the games in many ways. She is attempting to make history. She has 30 Olympic and World Championship medals to her name already. And at the US trials in June, interestingly, just to give you an insight into where she is, you would think someone of her caliber breezes through the US trials and this is all, you know, fun and games and enjoyable and building up with excitement to the Olympics. Apparently she left the US Olympic trials in tears when she was unable to come to grips with the disappointment of her performance, I was reading. So something maybe hasn't been quite right there for a while. And yet, you know, as I said, she's saying so easy breezy, almost cheery as she's talking there, and she'd have no reason to put up a front because it's not like she's trying to hide feeling low. So we're all very complex, and she's certainly in the midst of something complex, I would think, at the moment.
And I think she's a very complex individual. I remember looking back at them, the American trials, she stepped out a few times, you know, and her landings weren't what they would be normally at all. So, like, she didn't come in here in great form. So was the pressure, was she already even feeling the pressure? And the other thing I remember reading as well in that Vogue article was that she plans, which is very interesting, she plans after the Olympics to do her own golden tour, or a gymnastics tour of America. And normally that's something that Team USA do, but they're not doing it. And so she's set to do her own one. And does all of this stuff suddenly just become too much when your form isn't good, you know? But for me, just I think maybe as well, you know, the person I've seen with the same amount, I mean, Kathy Freeman had the same amount of pressure on her probably in Australia. She was the face of the games. And Jessica Ennis in London was the face of the games. But neither were involved in sports that are so precarious, where a tiny, tiny, tiny mistake can suddenly, you know, dump you out of things. So we don't know. By the way, Britain were took bronze, Joe, and three of them. We could have had three of that team, possibly, when you think about it. Alice Kinsella is the daughter of Mark, soccer player, and the two Gadarova twins, the two 16-year-olds, they were born in Dublin. Their parents are Azerbaijani, and he was working here. And they moved over. They were born in here in October 2004, but they moved to England, I think, very soon afterwards.
Okay, wow. Well, I know we're going to have Mark Kinsella on the Olympic show tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
We'll see if she got her flexibility from him, or was he one of these footballers that could barely touch his toes when they're stretching their hamstring? They're out there. So Osaka, we should mention, straight sets defeat. I just find Osaka so interesting, I have to say. I'm watching the documentary on Netflix on her at the moment. She's, again, really complex person, fascinating individual, and she lost in straight sets. I mean, the pressure cooker of being Naomi Osaka in Tokyo. You have lit the Olympic flame a few days previously. You're a superstar in Japan. You struggle a bit with the language at times, and you're doing all your media in various quarters. And so she skipped the mix zone initially. Again, this is just, it ties in with the Simone Biles situation. She skipped the mix zone initially. She took a direct left, even though all the players are meant to walk through the mix zone, even if they don't stop and talk to the media. And so the word seems to be that the Japanese Tennis Federation stepped in and convinced Osaka to return. And she did go back, and she was asked about the pressure and if she felt it was too much to handle. And so she said, I mean, yes and no. I feel like I should be used to it by now. but at the same time, the scale of everything's been a bit hard. And again, there is someone who is almost beating herself up, like, I should be used to this, I should be able to handle it. But, like, I don't think she is able to handle it just at the moment.
No, and I when I saw her light in the Olympic flame, I was thinking, you know, I wonder, was she in that, you know, given everything that's happened to her this year and how she had withdrawn from doing media events and everything, I thought, well, probably if she hadn't been contracted to do that and represent, you know, the games, you imagine she wouldn't be there. And that's the reality. And it raises really interesting questions, you know, how you can be so brilliant physically, but you can be vulnerable psychologically and mentally. And as I said, Biles up until now, I thought was pretty indestructible because, you know, I've seen her in situations where she's got the, you know, very odd questions asked of her and difficult questions asked her. And she seems to treat everything, you know, easily. But today was a very interesting turning point.
I can't think of a time where athletes are so publicly coming out, by the way, and talking about these things. This is definitely a line in the sand this past year.
Well, they have a vehicle for it now as well, Joe. Do you know what I mean? They can speak directly to us. So, and that is a powerful tool. And it was as powerful yesterday when Tom Daley spoke. I felt as well. You know, they can talk straight to us now. There's no filter in between. They can be confident that whatever they put down is going to come out how they want it to come out. It's not going to be. It's not going to have a media, you know, filter through it. And so, yeah, this is the best time for them, you know, to tell us how they are.
Yeah.
But how they are is very complicated sometimes.
It sure is. Before we let you go, so in your coffee-fueled all-nighter, I know you watched the sevens, so we'll come to that in a second. It's worth mentioning Annalise Murphy, who, unlike London and unlike Rio, is going to have to do this the hard way. She got great starts in those two games. The complete opposite here, I mean, just desperately disappointing. So races 5 and 6 of 10 in the last 24 hours. She finished 9th and 10th in those two races, which means she jumped 12 places in the overall standings. She went from 32nd to 20th. Now, only the top 10 will make the medal race ultimately, but, you know, it was a little glimpse of just how she had underperformed initially, and she's kind of walking a tightrope now. She needs, like, top 10, top 5 finishes all the way in, and she's probably aware of that.
She is, and she knows that as well. And look, it's an unusual games for Annalise. Like, you're 4th in London, you're silver in Rio. You go off and do a round the world race just to get your head together and get away from it all. Then you come and you decide you're going to go into a crew with a Cork sailor. Tingle was her name. I'll think of it in a minute. Katie Tingle. And then it didn't work out. They thought, no, this isn't going to work. And she went back into her own boat on her own again. So really, she only had kind of, I'd say, a year and a half, 2 years to get back into the swing of it. And I think she was about 12th or that at World Championships, the last World Championships. So she went in there not really that confident of her form, but the first, you know, she had a boat crash into her at the start on the first race. Absolute disaster. You couldn't legislate for it. It's a bit like your pothole last night with the cycling. Just couldn't legislate for that. But yet she has fought back. And I just think she's an amazing, amazing athlete. And no matter where she finishes here, I think she really has deserved everything she's got.
Yeah, totally agree. So the sevens then, I mean, the team went off with a lot of fanfare because they reached the games in very dramatic fashion quite recently, and it was a big story. They had to beat Kenya by 8 points after their initial two defeats to USA and South Africa. So beat Kenya by 8 was the challenge.
They were 12-0 up with a minute and a half to go. Now, a minute and a half is a long time in sevens because, you know, it's a constantly moving, sprinting game. But I just couldn't believe how they let them in for a try. This just struck me. It was the mental thing. They looked nervous all night. You could see the pressure on them. They were conscious all the time that they had to win by a certain amount. And they were mishandling balls and knocking them on and just doing things wrong that, you know, the stars of this team just don't usually do. And it was a real pressure game. And they just couldn't deal with it, I think, mentally. And that's what separates you, you know, in these really big competitions.
It sure does. Clina, great to have you on. Thank you so much. I presume bed at a reasonable hour is the plan tonight. What's that, 2-3 a.m. in your world? You might think about nodding off.
I couldn't possibly say, Joe.
thanks so much. Great to have you on, Clina Foley. Thank you.
Love it to talk to you.
Bye. So we're going to turn to the boxing now. And just Aidan Walsh in action overnight. Obviously, it's been so-so games thus far for some of the boxers. Some disappointing defeats here and there. So Aidan would have watched his sister Michaela lose yesterday. They were hopeful he had a better draw than a few of the other boxers, Aidan Walsh, and he duly delivered unanimous decision against his Cameroon opponent. Here he is speaking afterwards.
You hear her from a miles away. Even if it's in Belfast, you still hear it through the cameras. But no, it's brilliant. It's great. And all the other supporters too, the boxers here support me as well. It's brilliant. Part of boxing, we've been here before. We lose some, we win some, and together we're a team, and that's it. It's about just staying focused on what's in front of us and just giving it 100%. It's what I've dreamed of since I first joined boxing, looking up at the Olympic rings, seeing all the names from Belfast that were the Olympians. Now I want to push on and get a medal. I don't want to just be an Olympian, I want to be an Olympic medalist.
There we are, Aidan Walsh, great start. Ronan Mullen is with us. Hey, Ro.
Hi, Joe. How are things?
Good. So when Aidan Walsh says you can hear her there from a mile away, he's talking presumably about Michaela.
Yeah, Michaela was there, and I think what's become clear from the interviews, the post-fight interviews, is the camaraderie within that boxing team. Obviously, the familial link between Michaela and Aidan, but Aidan just mentioning there, like, how the team have come together, close-knit. They're probably quite aware that the stakes are so high, and also the draw hasn't been overly favourable. And while he was probably quite tunnel-visioned from his own perspective, he would have been aware that the onus was very much on him to sort of arrest this slide of three successive defeats. And he was one who was quite fortunate as compared to his colleagues, where he got a bye, as we discussed yesterday, a lottery bye, which meant he was afforded a free pass through the round of 32 into the last 16 against in a winnable fight against a beatable opponent. And again, like with the likes of Brendan Irvine, he didn't start fast. He didn't get to the pitch of the task fast enough, whereas that was the complete opposite from Aidan Walsh. It was one of those where after 60 seconds you could take a breath and think he's got this in control, and he was absolutely excellent. And he didn't give his opponent any window into the fight to such a degree that his opponent got 2-point deductions. Such was his frustration that he kind of knew a knockout was required midway through the second round, even got a point deducted there, and then another in the third round. So Aidan Walsh, it put me in mind of John Joe Nevin at London 2012. Just this slick movement off the back foot, pot-shotting brilliantly and tying up where necessary. He was just an absolute clinic, and he will be confident now. You could kind of sense it from his post-fight interview on RTÉ and on BBC there, that he knows where he's at. He's come the hard route to get here, given how stacked this division is in Ireland even. So he's well equipped to deliver, I would think.
So what is his route now to medal? Is it just one fight?
One fight, and again, like it's kind of opened up for him a little bit, where he's got an opponent from Mauritius in the next round, not necessarily a boxing stronghold, so he will fancy his chances. And where his opponent last night was kind of fighting with a bit of abandon, quite wild in his technique, that won't quite be the case when Friday rolls around. So thankfully it's kind of jived quite nicely for an Irish viewing audience, where Aidan's fight will tally a little bit where Kelly Harrington makes her bow at this Olympic Games. So he will be fighting for a medal, which is a great thing to be able to say in that quarterfinal on Friday. And if last night's performance is anything to go by, he will be quite confident of getting a win there. And then Kelly Harrington, obviously one of our primary medal hopes across the board, not just in the boxing arena.
So when does Harrington go out? In the next 48 hours, is it?
She's out Friday at 3 a.m. I think the time is. And Becca Nicolay is her opponent. That was clarified in the last couple of days. Kelly, again, she's number one seed in the division, hence why we have such high hopes for her. So she will. She got to skip the last 32 by dint of that and is straight in here in a pretty winnable fight. Like Amy Broadhurst, who's from Dundalk herself, a multi-time champion at Irish elite level, beat Nicolay in the, I think it was the European Under-22s a couple of years ago. So Kelly Harrington would be fully confident that this is a very nice start. Granted, you can't take anything lightly in these games, but I think Kelly will be confident that she will follow Aidan into the quarterfinal stage. And like, the sky's the limit for Kelly. I think she could probably, she'd be disappointed if she didn't get to a final, at least, I would think.
And does being number one seed mean that your draw is favourable all the way through, or all bets are off pretty early on in proceedings?
I think the overall remit of the boxing side of things, anyway, I can't speak to other sports. It's quite similar to tennis, where the top four, basically the draw is made so that the best four fighters would meet in semi-finals if it panned out as such. Yeah. But the rest of it is a bit of a free-for-all, as was borne out in the draw that the Irish lads have got so far. So Kelly is in the fortunate position where she's kind of, they've carved out a route for her, as they have for all the top seeds, hoping that the best fight the best for the medals on the podium. And So she will be hopeful that she will be able to navigate her way through. I think her first difficult fight, and like I don't want to be too presumptuous here because this is boxing and one shot can change everything, but she will probably be facing stiff competition come semi-final time. And she will have nothing to fear, really. Like she put on such a clinic at the qualifying tournament for the Easy Olympics, where she beat some of the heavy hitters at lightweight, that she would be confident. And as we know, this has been a long time coming. This was Katie Taylor's domain for best part of a decade, if not more. So Kelly's been biding her time, waiting for this opportunity. Like she obviously won the world championships a couple of years ago, but had slight injury concerns and setbacks in the years that followed. So maybe the postponement was something of a blessing in disguise, let her get a bit healthier. And she's coming into this in great condition, I would think, and in a great headspace as well. I think, like, much like Katie Taylor, you don't want to be almost giving her a medal before she's got one, like Katie in 2012, but I'd be surprised if she didn't come away with here with a medal.
Yeah. The funny thing with Kelly Harrington is she's very famous. She's been on The Late Late Show. She's been hanging out with Tommy Tiernan. She's been on this show numerous times. Everybody is aware of Kelly Harrington and how good she is. Most people have never seen her fight. She's almost never on television. So for a lot of people, this is going to be their first sense of what type of fighter Kelly Harrington is and what she's good at. You'd have a sense of that, obviously. Tell us what we're in for.
Yeah, I think it's one of my memories of London 2012, similar to what you just said there, but with Katie Taylor, I don't think many people had seen her before London 2012 either, and are quite taken aback by her front foot approach. She's a very aggressive fighter, Katie, as an amateur. Kelly would be more of a slickster, I would think, like on the back foot. That's kind of how she tends to control fights. And in that qualifying tournament I was talking about, she took on one of Team GB's golden girls, Caroline Dubois, who's sister of Daniel Dubois, the British heavyweight. And like, they have high hopes for her, and Kelly was able to get the job done a couple of months ago in that one. That could possibly be rematched at these games. And Mira Pakkinen, who's kind of been a thorn in the side of Irish boxing for a long time now, beat Katie in 2016, obviously, and has beaten Kelly, I think, in 2019. So that could be a possible one. Pakkinen won earlier on this afternoon. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. The jeopardy will start to heighten once Olympic finals come around. And thankfully, I think by the time we get to that stage, the times, Joe, will be a bit more palatable for an Irish audience. I don't think we'll have to be getting up at 3 a.m. to watch Kelly box for medals around next week.
Okay, so next 24, 48 hours, is anyone else out?
Tomorrow, so Kurt Walker, we mentioned him yesterday, yeah. He's back out in his last 16 bouts, so he'll be trying to carve out his path for a quarterfinal. I kind of framed how difficult a task that is for him, but I have a sneaky suspicion he's going to rise to the occasion and get the job done. Aoife O'Rourke, similarly, you know, the deck is quite stacked against her. Lee Kwan, medaled at Rio, former world champion. But I think, and I just have a feeling again for Aoife, where she's kind of every obstacle that's been placed in her way so far, she's just risen to the occasion, and like quite a newcomer to boxing in the sense that I think she was kind of carving out a route for Gaelic football. That was probably her first love, and took up boxing as a means of fitness almost, and just fell in love with the sport. And you know, the world is her oyster now. I think certainly if she wins tomorrow, the path will open up for her. That one is around 10:15 a.m. So I think most people will be able to watch that one. Kurt Walker, it's around 4:30. So you'd be able to, if people aren't brave enough, Joe, to get up like I did last night and watch that slew of Irish action, you'd be able to catch that with Eric Donovan and the boys, I'd say, on the highlight show tomorrow morning.
Okay, very good, Ronan. Thanks for the time being. Talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.
Cheers, Joe.
That's Ronan Mullen giving us the latest on the boxing. That is our Olympic show done for this evening. We're back pretty much same time tomorrow, just after 5 o'clock, and all our social channels, or the OTB Sports app, is where you can get all our content as well. And it's all with thanks to Indeed, who are proud to support Team Ireland at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. Indeed believes the world works better when people are given every opportunity to unleash their true talents. Hashtag talent unleashed.
The Olympic show on OTB Sports with Indeed. Proud partner of Team Ireland.